Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Did somebody say playoffs? The NBA, MLB, and then NHL are in full swing, and our partners have bet online. I've got it covered.
Are you a betting man, Derek? Sports betting?
No, I am not. I'm not stupid.
Betting sports is my favorite thing ever. And I think this year the Lakers are a lock, a absolute lock to take out the title. LeBron James, fine form, et cetera, et cetera. But I'll be honest, I've never once won a bet.
So take advantage of sports being back and get in on the action with hundreds of odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. And there's always the online casino as well. It never closes. So head to betonline.ag today and sign up to receive your welcome bonus and your first deposit.
Meet me there.
Yeah, again, that's betonline.ag. Welcome, Antigua, Antigua listeners, and sign up today. Betonline.ag, sign up today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. 2020 has been the year of things happening that are completely out of your control. But there's one thing you control, and that's shaving your bush. Yeah.
Don't. No, shave your face. I'm telling you, everyone out there, shave your damn face with this thing. Don't touch anywhere else.
In fact, listeners to the show will get 20% off and free shipping with the code DIRTYWATER at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code DIRTYWATER. Please use the code DIRTYWATER. If we get three more people to buy the damn things, we get paid. We keep doing this thing. It's time to grab 2020 by the horns by shaving that.
Your face. Your damn face. Shave your face. Face with it. I shave my face with it.
Yeah, don't touch your nuts. You fucking weirdos.
Perfect.
Good. All right. I'm Derek Riley. I'm with Charlie Smith, and welcome to Dirty Water, 1 hour of godless conversation that'll warm the baby powder inside your armpits and make the lilacs in your dressing table bloom. Today's guest on Dirty Water is a surfboard shaper and artist who self-describes as a stick of dynamite and a sissy boy. He was born and raised in Newport Beach, California, although he now lives in San Pedro, near Los Angeles International Airport, and very close to Long Beach, one of America's most ethnically diverse cities. At his mid-1980s peak, he was making custom surfboards as well as an anti-surf clothing line. Both boards and t-shirts emblazoned in luminous pinks and patterned like happy tropical fish. Lately, our guest, who is 67 years old, has fashioned himself as the anti-imported surfboard and fiercely anti-Asian provocateur. Ask our founding fathers what they think of Chinese junk, he wrote in one Instagram post. As we march forward, let's keep our dignity in this battle for an Asian import-free nation, he wrote another. Our guest throws his online barbs at the Kelly Slater-owned Firewire surfboards, though he often targets the company's CEO, Mark Price, and Slater Designs, companies that manufacture the bulk of their surfboards in Southeast Asia. Last week, Kelly Slater, in reference to our guest, noted that it must be great to be in your mid to late 60s, on drugs, sexually confused, and dying for any kind of attention. Today's guest, Mr. Peter Schroff.
Never been more excited for a guest. That was American English with an ice cube, a vodka-soaked ice cube in my mouth.
I would love a vodka-soaked ice cube in my mouth. But Pete, let's go through each of Kelly's charges.
I'm sorry.
Let's go through each of Kelly's charges.
Kelly so, Hall.
let's go through. So you know when Kelly made that sent that provocative message to your buddy from Happy Battle Surf Shop. When he said that you were in your mid to late 60s, on drugs, sexually confused and dying for any kind of attention.
Did he say that?
Well, that's what he actually wrote it.
he called me up the next day, totally apologizing for the whole thing. You know, Jesus, I mean, the world is a funny place nowadays. You know, immediately after this whole shindig, I get an email from Surfer Magazine wanting me to do be a part of their gay issue. So, Jesus Christ. But I think it's gotten to a point that the world is so, is it okay to say the F-U-C-K on that?
Yeah, we're,
okay. Yeah, like a bitch.
The world has gotten so fucking politically correct. I'm always putting my foot in my mouth, you know what I mean, kind of speak. And anyway, you know, I told the guy, I warned the guy in Happy Battle, whatever it is, in San Diego, hey, you're taking your life in your own hands when you produce a show like this. You know, the first one I did was in Rockaway Beach, New York. And the next day, you know, then the focus was horse shit, you know, Hayden Shape. I love giving things code names so you don't get busted. And horse shit's wife calls up the next morning to Howard. Well, I call him Howard. He's I can't even, you know, I call people by nickname.
You call Hayden Howard?
Horseshit.
But who's Howard?
Howard is the owner of the Rockaway Beach Surf Club that produced the show.
What's his nickname?
And so his wife just called up screaming the next day after the video came out. The video went viral instantly, you know, because you got a half-naked fucking meathead fucking chopping up a fucking Hayden Shape in his fucking panties, you know. Anyway, I like to have fun while we're doing the thing. So, where were we?
You're describing your Rockaway Beach performance.
Okay, so then, you know, so I was warning him, you know, you're going to get a load of shit for doing this fucking show. You know, because I like to let people know what they're getting into. Anywho, you guys get the whole fucking point of this whole damn scenario. Is, you know, I've been in the business for 50 years.
Yeah, 15.
50. And, you know, it's my family. It's my big family. And here we got, you know, we got King Shit Slater taking his work to Thailand. And, you know, we already have an issue. I don't know about you guys over there, but we have an issue of homeless people and people out of work and unemployment and stuff. And it was a complete, like, anti-patriotic move. And so that's what flared up. You know, and the same thing, Hayden Shape is over here just fucking brainwashing everybody on his little fucking super board. And you know, it just like, the way I look at it, surfboards are the last handmade thing in the world. Skateboard, nothing. Nothing's handmade. What can you name that's handmade like the old Goldsmiths in the old days?
And Hermes Birkin is handmade.
Handmade in Portugal, isn't it? Or Bangladesh?
No, in France still, Derek. Come on.
Handmade by Bangladeshis in Paris. Huh?
I can go get my Hermes belt if you want me to put it on and look sexy for the.
Please, yes.
All right, here I go.
Okay. Derek?
Pete's going to put on his Hermes belt.
And you and I can discuss while he's going to put on his Hermes belt.
Well, first of all, let's explain what Pete was talking about. So he was talking about his ritual destruction of a surfboard made in Thailand, which he did, I think, in 2016 at Rockaway Surf Club, I think it is, with the Hayden Shapes crypto.
I am back.
He's back. In 2019, look, Happy Battles, it was the Slater sci-fi board.
They even gave you a little sack to protect the buckle, you know. Ooh, yeah. Ooh.
Should
look, yeah. Oh, yeah. Look. baby. Look at that. Woo!
See, that's what I'm talking about right there.
Hot did doggy. Woo!
Did you wear that in the destruction of any foreign-made surfboards?
No, I'm going to wear it for my next chop-chop session. Anyway, so let's get back on track, boys, because I know we've got to communicate something reasonable to the public.
So when did you start lighting up about foreign-made surfboards?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
When did you start becoming politicized by Asian-made surfboards?
Jesus fucking Christ, man. I feel like I'm talking to aliens.
We're very... Chaz, can you ask...
I could understand you very well the other day on the phone. I don't know what happened. I think it's the speaker system or something. So,
are you on, Mr. Schroff?
What about James? Can he speak better?
No, right?
Can he be a translator? Or is he
James only speaks in Kanye West.
Only speaks in what?
In Kanye West.
He only speaks easy.
There we go.
Mr. Schroff. Mr. Schroff. Are you on drugs, Mr. Schroff?
Am I what?
Are you on drugs, Mr. Schroff?
You know, I do a little weed once in a while. Back in the gotcha days, we did a shitload of blow as you know, the MT family. Are you frozen?
No.
Didn't you do a book on the whole blow and surfing thing?
I did. It was called Cocaine Surfing. That's what it was called. I should have called it Blow and Surfing. It would have gone better, I think.
And so, you know MT pretty well.
I love MT maybe more than any surf personality of them all, besides you. I'll be honest here. I don't fan out on podcast guests regularly. But you, Peter Schroff, I first became aware of you. Do you know Pete Terrace?
Who?
Pete Terrace?
No.
Longtime photo editor of Surfing and then Surfer. Peter Terrace is his name. T-A-R-A-S.
No, I for some reason he slipped right by me. I know.
Son of a bitch. Pete Terrace just got hammered, but also Pete Terrace introduced me to your work like decades ago.
You're not saying Peter Cowan.
Nope. Terrace.
Okay. No, it slipped my mind. You know, you got to remember, I checked out of the surf world for 25 years.
But your early surf ads, those, what you did, I don't know, 30 years ago, was pretty damn epic.
Yeah.
Black and white.
I've kind of really checked out of the surf world in like 85.
Sure. But your 1984 ads in magazine were provocative and progressive.
Yeah, which is actually no different than what we're doing right now, because they were just throwing shit back in people's face, you know, and it went over most people's head. And now, you know, I kind of like toned it down a little bit and hit below the belt.
But real quick,
nothing has really changed, you know. The sissy boy attitude is pretty much the same. You know, I never thought of being political, but it always, now it's kind of like, back then it was called punk rock, and now I don't know what the fuck it's called, because everything's so politically correct, and it's just like I was telling you the other night when we were having a personal phone call, is that you it's hard to move anymore. You got to slither like a snake to get by, and it's really killed my business, being a spokesman for the American board builders, and they're all fucking pussyfoot. None of them will fucking jump into the fucking thing. They keep it at arm fucking distance. And my friend was telling me about Melbourne now. Melbourne is a bunch of like pussyfoots right now, liberals that
Melbourne
are all politically correct.
Melbourne. What's wrong with people in Melbourne?
Yeah, people in Melbourne out here are just like really like politically correct now. They're following the whole little Black Lives Matter thing.
What about people in Sydney?
Well, I don't know about Sydney. My UK buddy, we just spent an hour on the phone today, and he just tells me, you know, what's going on, because I don't listen to the news or anything. I just kind of feel it in my blood, and you make a move.
Gotcha days. Yeah. What were you actually designing for Gotcha?
Good question.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's a good question, because, you know, they hired me because we created a movement and got to a, in kind of a slum. I was kind of over doing garment, you know, I was doing surfboard and did a few t-shirts and skyrocketed, and I got into the garment industry, and I fucking hated the garment industry. I didn't speak a word of fucking Spanish. I had to drive to LA. I knew how to run a surfboard factory, but I dropped the surfboard factory because I couldn't do both. And so eventually I wound up spitting up blood, and I said, hey, this isn't worth killing myself for.
And so, were you spitting up blood because of the cocaine and surfing part?
The stress of the garment industry. You do 5,000 pairs of trunks and they're all fucked up. You got a ship date. You're fucked, you know? And it's just, everything's always like that in the garment industry. You got to have a good production manager, and I was just a little surfboard kid at the time. You know, I didn't know anything about the garment industry, but, you know, I took to dive off the cliff and fuck, sissy boy got the fuck out of there. It wasn't good. And then I licensed a line out and went to work for Gotcha. MT picked me up, and what I wound up, they wanted me to come in and do a designer, but fuck, I can't do production shape. You know, it's just not in my blood. So they put me in a designer room and I went fucking mental. They got 5 lines a year and you keep reworking things and all this. And then they finally figured out that I needed to go work with Mark Price in the marketing department. And which is ironic, it's, you know, Mark Price and I became like best fucking buddies. And we did loads of fucking blow together. We did loads of partying together. And, you know, if Mark Price took a fork in the street, and I took a fork in the street, you know, and he took the fork, you know, after the Tavares saying failing and all this. And hey, I understand, you know, he got his life, he got to make money, he has a lifestyle. You know, and we all have lifestyles we have to support. You know, we become accustomed to lifestyles, right?
Speaking of lifestyles, real quick, there's absolutely no way you're in San Pedro right now. I've never seen a home like you're in right now that's in San Pedro.
Oh, fuck. I'll show you around, okay?
Okay.
Hope you guys don't mind me smoking.
I'm going to spark one with you.
Smoking is my little reward. Okay, here we go. All right. You want to see those... You want a piece of the firewire coming into the country?
Yes, please.
Okay, here we go. There they are.
Not San Pedro, though. Oh, you are in San Pedro.
All around there. Oh, boy.
You are in San Pedro.
Never enough. And then we keep a watchful eye on things in the territory. And
nothing quite like a radio show tour of a house.
This is the ultimate bachelor pad. So, the bachelor pad.
You're walking through Peter's bathroom now, floor to ceiling, black tiles, big bathtub, big sexy bathtub for sissy boy times.
Is this stinking gotcha money, or is this, how did you afford this San Pedro beautiful loft? What do you even call it? It's a
mini hotel. There's two bedroom, two bathroom rentals, and they're swanked out. And it's like Salvador Dali on acid, every room.
Let's move on, Peter. Peter, why do they call you Sissy Boy? Why do you call yourself Sissy Boy?
I thought you guys labeled me Sissy Boy. When
have
I
you? No. This is self-defined. I've seen you Sissy Boyed out in your own Instagrams.
You like my hot pants?
I do like it. I like your Super Love shirt, too.
Yeah.
If you put your Hermes belt on, no. It would be better.
I thought it was you. Is this the you or Stab that labeled me Sissy Boy?
Derek, was it you?
I remember calling you Sissy Boy once,
But I thought...
You or Dab that labeled me Sissy Boy, and I kind of liked it. So I became Sissy Boy. The thing is, if you accept the bottom, then there's nowhere to go but up, right?
But what the heck? You're living in a pied-à-terre in San Pedro, designed by Salvador Dali himself.
Yeah.
I feel you're pretty high in terms of where surfboard shapers are right now.
Yeah, well, you know, I lived in New... There's the whole theory. I have this friend, and he had the whole theory on three.
What is
it? I just realized it when I moved to San Pedro because he was my ex-tenant and he became a friend and he moved into the storefront that I have, the studio in Sandro. I call it Sandro because you got the local, they call it Pedro.
Sandro.
And San Pedro, you know, I hate Spanish fucking name. And so, and like kind of a, you know, a Spain name, Sandro, you know, like the designer, Sandro.
Yeah.
So it's much Sandro more elegant.
Fabulous so, designer.
You know, being a fashion victim, I am. So anyway, so I spent 31 years in Newport, 31 years in Venice.
Where did you live in Newport, real quick? Give me streets.
In Venice?
In Newport. What were your streets? Newport is a large swamp.
I lived over the place. You know, the last place I lived was 56th Street.
Okay, 56 is good.
You know, I had an oceanfront house there because, you know, that was the scene. And so anyway, you know, Newport, I got into the art world and performance art. So I moved to L.A., and actually started off in a loft downtown.
Where? Which streets downtown? Come on. You gotta be specific
here. It was specifically, there's Alameda.
Yep.
And Forge. One block east is Seton Street.
So you were Arts District is what you were. You were Arts District.
Oh, yeah. So we did performance shows every month there, my girlfriend and I, or should I say my boyfriend.
Tell us about Surfer's gay issue that you feature heavily in.
Well, you know, the whole, obviously, back then, this is like the mid-80s, you know, half the artists are gay, and that's the way it is. And I had four girlfriends in a row, and they're modern dancers, and all the boys are fucking gay. You know, so it's nothing new to me. They're all regular folk. And so, you know, the whole gay phobia and homophobia thing is just like a pathetic little fucking attitude of, I don't know, right wingers or whatever. You know, they just wiggle in their seat when they think about anal sex or blowjobs or whatever. But, you know, I just been growing up with it in the art world is pretty common and now it's the focal point. I came back to the surf world and probably, you know, I left the surf world by 1990 and I came back
to the surf world.
What?
You never left the surf world.
Yeah, I did.
Once a surfer, always a surfer. Wasn't that a gotcha slogan?
No, I stopped surfing, doing everything for 25 years.
Son of a gun.
Where did you go? What happened?
Midlife crisis.
So where did you go? Hey, what did you do?
You guys are young boys. I'm 66. You'll go on your little passes as you grow up. You know, it's just like you go on your passes. And then I came back to surf world and I go, holy fucking shit. What happened to the surf culture? It turned into Wonder Bread land.
It so did. Peter Schroff, it so did.
Do you guys know what Wonder Bread is over in Down Under?
No, we don't, but I imagine it's
squishy, the squishy bread with the yellow, blue, red, and red spot.
Wasn't surfing always always Wonder Bread, Peter?
Wonder Boy.
Wonder Boy is your new name, FYI. Yeah. Are you a Wonder Boy?
Well, no, in 100 years.
You'll be a Wonder Boy in 100 years?
No, I'm just super love. Which is, it's kind of an ironic thing. Super love is kind of like a mantra in a way, you know? It's just like, just remember, if you keep on a positive note, you can create things. If you get negative, you want to destroy a thing. So it's like a keto. If you can take somebody's energy and redirect it, and then it's super love.
But real quick, do you still love surfing even after all of this? Is surfing so magical to you?
Ah, yeah. I still got a heart on every time I go out. And, you know, I'm in foreclosure right now. Everything's a fucking nightmare. You know, I retired on rentals in Venice. I had 4 rentals. And
I was even in one of your rentals in Venice.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah. I heard this is you designed epic homes in Venice.
Epic home?
Those two, epic homes, but also epic homes.
Yeah, I love cones.
Yeah.
Cones are cool. I have a big affection for cones. Everybody says it's phallic, but it's not. But I'm kind of like crazy.
But why the hell do you still design surfboards, Pete Schroff?
I'm really good at it.
Like making good surfboards?
God gave me a gift, and I follow God. Past. And I'm really, 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 really super good at it. And, you know, it's really hideous going in a sweaty, gritty fucking room. And it's really fucking hideous laying all that fucking masking tape. I mean, I fucking hate it. It's a love-hate relationship. But I'm just, like, really, really good at it. And you know, there's so much competition and bullshit and politicians in the art world. It's just like the real fucking world. I just said, fuck it, you know, and then the gays and the minority group, Mexicans, the black took over the art world. Everything's politically fucking correct now. So, you know, at a certain point, I just said, fuck it with the art world. And then I went back to the art world, and then there's Wonder Bread. And so what triggered the whole fucking thing was Hayden Shape, horse shit, he knocked off one of the logos. And one of my buddies in New York sent it to me, and that triggered the whole fucking movement.
But let's be honest, the logo he knocked off, though, was it was a square blocks, right? Was that really a knockoff? Or was that...
So, you know, I printed it. And I just kind of called him on it. And then I found out he's making Chinese boards and exploiting them in this country. And then that started the whole fucking flare. And, you know, he was chicken shit about it, you know?
But have you ever seen how beautiful Hayden is? Hayden Cox... as a man, is maybe the most beautiful shaper to ever live. Let's be quite frank.
You can't fucking shape fucking worth a fucking damn.
Have you seen his face?
Oh, faces.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's gay boy.
He's an Adonis. He's an Adonis of a man.
Yeah, and the fucking baggy haircut and the whole fucking shit, you know?
Beautiful. A beautiful human being. One of the most beautiful human beings surfboard shaping has ever, ever produced, besides you.
Well, I'm fucking ugly dickhead.
Are you kidding? The bald head, glasses, whole thing. Are you kidding me? At 66, you may be along with Hayden, the most beautiful surfboard shaper ever.
Yeah, well, when I had hair, I was beautiful.
Are you kidding? You wear no hair better than Kelly Slater.
Yeah. Well, you know, Kelly, well, let's not get anything wrong. You know, style master was MR. MR is still rules. Nobody will ever do it better than MR. But
his Kelly ears Slater, stick out.
Kelly Slater did it longer.
MR's ears stick out a whole ton. MR's ears are like Dumbo wings, and he has a weak chin. What are you talking about here?
Well, I'm talking about Kelly Slater's longevity to be.
I'm talking about Kelly Slater's handsome face, but I feel you're handsomer at 66 than Kelly Slater will be at 66.
Yeah, he'll have a pot belly.
Kelly?
Yeah.
He already does, doesn't he?
No, he will by then. He doesn't yet.
You don't have a pot belly.
Not yet.
you're 66. It ain't coming. If it ain't coming at 66, it's not coming. So you do not have a pot belly.
No. The thing is, you know, I meditate for an hour every morning. I eat all organic. I don't eat meat.
What do you meditate upon?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nothingness.
Are you a Zen Buddhist?
No. Fuck no.
What are you? If you're meditating on nothing.
I started off in, what was it? I think the late 60s was TM, Transcendental Meditation, was the Maharishi.
Mahesh Yogi.
And then I migrated to Paramahansa Yogananda with the Self Realization Fellowship.
Did you ever come down to Swami's?
Yeah, I went to meetings and Sunday meetings at the temple, and then I got into Krishnamurti, which is interesting because the Bonser brothers are into Krishnamurti. You aware of Krishnamurti?
Of course.
Okay.
But I'm real curious, where are you now?
So Krishnamurti was the next evolution. And then between my yoga teacher, because I've been doing yoga for 25 years, and between my yoga, because my back was so fucked up from shaping, being on a twist with the planer, crushed my disc. So, you know, I wind up in a wheelchair sometime. And so people kept, you know, I tried chiropractor, everything, nothing worked. And people kept saying, try yoga. And so, you know, yoga's my boot camp. And so between her and all the gurus, I just kind of invented my own breed. You know, at 66, you kind of put two and two together and two and three together and two and five together. And so I just got my hour of meditation in the morning, and I just get level-headed. You know, an evening comes along, I have my beer, my whiskey, and my kombucha, yin and yang.
Do you mix your kombucha with your whiskey or your beer?
Fuck no, fuck. That would be sacrilegious.
You don't mix your cocktails?
My only martinis.
What with what?
Vermouth, extra dry.
You make a vermouth martini?
Well, you know, gin gives you a really bad hangover. So
it sure does.
So vodka is the ticket. I mean, I prefer gin martini, but the hangover is not worth it. So a vodka or martini, and I have this English buddy that moved to San Francisco. So we used to go up there and rent a bubble car, electric car. We go bar hopping, and we go to all the martini bars, and we just get fucking obliterated, you know. And we just pull up on the curb, we plug the thing in, all the bars. And the classic one on Haight Street, a martini bar. And the guy just is so cool. He takes the martini glass, the frozen martini glass, and he takes has a mist bottle with a vermouth, and he just mists the glass and he pours the vodka in. Fucking yes.
Okay, got you.
Okay.
I totally hear, I'm tracking with you now. With the mist, I thought you were actually mixing your martinis with actual, like, thick vermouth.
Oh, but no. The martini got to be pure, but you mix it with vermouth.
Of course. You know? I hear you now.
That's what kicked my... And then I was at a club in New York, well, I don't know, 20 years ago, and I ordered a martini, and I ordered it with olive, and she said, fuck that, and she put a fucking cherry in it. And I've been a fucking one of those, like, dark red cherry. And now I'm cherry man. No more olive.
A cherry martini?
The olive contaminates the juice. The cherry, you sip that martini, and at the end, you suck that little cherry, and it's like popping a cherry.
But ain't that Kelly Slater? Let's be honest. Is that not Kelly Slater today? Is basically a cherry martini.
Oh, really? That's such a thing?
I mean, sort of. Don't you think so? Well, deliciously sweet.
If you just dust a glass from vermouth and then you fill the rest of it with vodka and then you dump this little black cherry in, I guess it could be a cherry martini.
Sure.
I have to give the bartender directions on how to do it every time. You just tell them a cherry martini, they're not going to fucking understand what fucking, they're going to think your head is up your ass.
But I mean, I hear you. Cherries and olives are so close to each other
olive is fucking salty as fuck, and a cherry is just like pussy.
But they both have pits in the middle, right? I mean, it's a similar thing.
It's, yeah, they're round.
With pits.
They're round. They have a similarity. They are round, I admit. You got a good fucking point.
If cherry is a pussy, is olive a dick?
Well, you know, let's put it this way. If you had a nice ripe pussy staring you in a fucking eye, with an olive in it or a cherry in it, which one would you go to first?
Cherry.
Exactly. You got my point. I think you picked up on my gayness.
I mean, okay though, but real quick, you still wear a red ring on your left hand. What does that mean?
There it is.
So what does that mean though?
I paint it every week. You picked up on that. It's on the right hand.
Oh, sorry.
It's tan line.
It's flipped here.
So I just sprayed it. I have to let it dry for a couple of days. So you ever hear of the red ribbon to remind you of thing?
Yes.
Okay. And how people tie it around their finger. So this is my reminder to enjoy life. Because my nature is to get stressed and intense about everything. And then my hand always crosses my face. And it reminds me to calm down, take a deep breath, be calm, and be super love. So that's all. Good question, though. I'm surprised you picked up on it.
I'm an observant surf journalist.
Yeah. Fuck, that was the last detail. And then, you know, the first one I had, it slipped off while surfing one day, and so I had to get a size smaller, and so now I have to use fucking shitload of fucking lube to get the fucking thing on.
What lube do you use? Oh.
Olive like, oil.
Real quick, though.
I got big calluses from the Skill 100 holding that goddamn fucking planer. And
so,
yeah, the Skill 100 is a remarkable fucking tool. I just can't believe some primitive woodworker invented that fucking tool that is so sensitive. I got the one that the guy makes in San Diego, and it's such a piece of shit. You tried to copy the Skill 100, and it's so heavy, it's just insensitive. I had to use one once. It was the biggest piece of shit ever, and they charge a load of money for it. It looks beautiful, it looks sexy, but it's just a piece of shit. And the Skill 100 was one of those rare phenomenals. And the Skill 100 is like my chainsaw. I know them like the back of my hand. When I got the Skill 100 and the assist, the German chainsaw in my hand, I felt like king shit.
So back to Asian manufactured surfboards.
Yeah. So I only do one board a week.
One board a week?
Yeah.
So if I put in for a Peter Schroff custom, when would I get it?
Well, I keep up on my orders because, you know, I regulate them. I shape it right away, and then it depends on the glass shop. And, you know, it takes more time to tape it off and spray it than it does to shape it. It takes 2 hours to shape it. And I don't understand shaping machine. I really don't get it because I can block out, I can take a blank where the shaping machine takes it in 30 minutes. It takes the shaping machine 30 minutes to do. And it could be giving somebody work, not stealing their work. The only thing the shaping machine is good is making identical board. Did you have a magic board? But fuck, I only do custom orders and I ask a load of questions. I ask for photos, I ask for videos of the person surfing, and I put it into my computer. And I can make it just like blended. You know, and that's what we did with the electric acid test. The guy from Pure Glass does the glassing, tipped me off. It's J. Davey.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because of its weight and size and everything. But it turned out to be Noah. And so I need all that information to know the person. But, you know, J. Davey's weight, and I studied him. I watched all the videos of him. And then it wind up being Noah, and I go, fuck. You know, so that's how serious I take custom. I don't want to make a board for a dock board that goes in the shop. I do it for Japan because it's so difficult. Japan, you know, because of the shipping and time and delays and everything, they order dock boards and I have to do that. But ask yourself the question. Wouldn't you like to be intimate with things that you're doing? And it gets you a will to do it rather than just making it for a rack.
I mean, completely. But if you could pick a world champion shaper to shape for, world champion surfer, sorry, to shape for, who would you choose? Kelly Slater?
No.
Who?
Dane.
Reynolds.
Dane.
You could nail him. You could get Dane the best board of his life.
Yeah. I mean, I think Kelly Slater's getting old. Dane's still useful and he's experimental. Dane puts things. Well, you know, maybe Joss.
Kerr?
Yeah.
Really?
Because he's the most level-headed.
What about Sierra Kerr?
Or Jordy.
Smith?
Jordy or Josh, actually.
What about Josh's daughter, Sierra?
I'm not aware of her.
You should watch some videos of Sierra Kerr.
Really?
Josh's daughter? Oh, man. Derek, does Sierra Kerr not rip?
She's up there with the men?
I mean, I feel she is. Derek?
Yeah, Sierra's. Sierra's remarkable.
Really? How do you spell her name? Let me get my pencil here.
Like the Sierra Mountains. S-I-E-R-R-A.
Sierra.
Yeah.
Sierra.
That's the one.
She surfs like a man?
She surfs better than Josh.
No shit.
Literally.
Those two guys, I think, are just really special, you know. Jordy and you know, they're kind of underdogs in a way. You know, I don't think they'll ever be the rock star, but they do, you know, I like their freestyle.
Did you know Jordy Smith has many clubs in South Africa where he is the actual rock star?
No, I didn't know that.
It's true.
I don't even want to know it.
And now you do. So you should start shaping boards for Jordan.
But, you know, those guys are amazing. I think, you know, and, you know, Mick is the piece of the rock. He can do no wrong. And Kelly can still blow my mind.
How?
You know, it's just like, what was the free surfing thing? The Carmen, what's the Indonesian contest?
Oh, at Karamas.
Yeah. So, yep. You know, when he's free surfing, he pulls off the turning 360, you know?
The turning 360 is a beautiful move.
It's the ultimate move, you know? And then I forget who he's surfing with. He does it at lowers again, you know? And then he does it with somebody that actually does it with him. They both do turning 360, you know, and it's just like what people have been dreaming about for 30 fucking years, and they do it like a piece of cake.
Who is your Peter Schroff, your ideal customer who calls in for a surfboard?
Well, you know what my ideal customer turned out to be? 50 and over. 50 and over. It's like, you know, a lot of has-been surfers and they have their midlife crisis. I can make the boards a little bit thicker for them. And so that's my ideal customer, but I like to flirt. I can flirt with the younger surfer.
Do you flirt with the older surfers?
Pardon me?
You're not gay, are you?
Fuck no. I'm straight as a fucking 2x4. I mean, I just can't even imagine, but, you know, and I have no problem. Like I said, I grew up with all my art buddies and dance buddies is gay, and hey, to each his own.
But is playing flamboyant in surf, how much fun is that for you?
Playing,
like playing the role of the wild flamboyant man in surf.
Oh, fuck. I'm Safari Man. The girl I'm going out with now, you know, some yum jack me thing. She wanted to interview me for Safari Man. I'm Safari Man now, you know.
You're a Safari Man.
Safari Man.
Oh. That is pretty fat. Is that your van right there? Your Safari van? You're a Safari van.
Well, I go to Baja all the time and go surfing in San Miguel, you know. I just drive out the car and park there and San Miguel is fucking great. And you get the right, even during the summer, you get the right south swell, come right in there.
Real quick here, though.
What?
You're shaping a board a week.
Yeah, when I get Japanese orders, sometimes I have to do 8 boards a week, you know.
Do you go to Japan?
What?
Do you go to Japan?
I used to for design stuff. Because, you know, I was a designer for many years. And so I would always go to Milan and Tokyo for design week.
And no more.
Well, the whole design world is hungry. I mean, it died. Everything died.
Except for surfing.
Well, surfing, pretty much died too. It turned into a generic little fucking whippersnapper, clear fucking board thing. And, you know, follow Kelly Slater or Lost or horseshit. I mean,
is Lost horseshit?
I don't know about over there. I mean, are you here now or are you in Australia?
I'm only here. I mean, I was in Australia for a hot minute, but I'm only here.
But you know Jim Zappala, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So he just kind of made the connection for me because, you know, he used to spray for me and stuff. I trained him to spray and do everything. He used to wake up. I used to give him a call at midnight. It's time to come and cut the laps on the board, you know. So, you know, he was working at UPS, and I met him. I met him, and I said, "Hey, you want to make surfboard?"
What is the next frontier in surfing, though? It's wide open now. It's all broken. So, where can we all go?
Where am I going to go?
Where can we go? I mean, I feel you are a progressive visionary into
I'm just opening the mini hotel. You want a tour?
Me? I'm on the tour?
You want a tour?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay, here we go. You ready to go down the rabbit hole?
Definitely.
So it's a destination hotel. People will come from all over the world. And my future is to quit making surfboard, quit surfing, and I'm going to be a hoe. But yeah, you know, I'm fucking 66, and I like hosting people. I like making people happy, like blowing people's mind.
How does somebody book in your space?
Book.
Well, yeah, how do you get to start?
We're not open yet. There's a lot of work to do yet.
It didn't look like any work to do besides getting scorched alive by the lack of fire alarm batteries.
I'm figuring out whether to go with Airbnb or whether to have agents do it and just not dick around with it, which sounds kind of appetizing. So I'm probably going to pick up an agent to do all the fucking nightmare. That way they book the maids and the fucking cleaning people and shit like that. Because, you know, I can't fucking deal with that shit.
I mean, how in the world do you have time between shaping a surfboard a week and building that entire place?
Fuck, that's why I only do one fucking board a week. You know, I have to focus on this thing. And
I guess
right now,
that makes sense.
You know, I got $1 million into this fucking thing, over $1 million into it. And, you know, it's going to happen. And it's like an oasis. People can come here from all over the world. They're just, like I say, it's like taking a tab of acid without having to take a tab of acid. And I want to be a host. I don't want to go into a sweating, shaking fucking room.
Screw shaping. Whoever wanted to do that?
I will do. Yeah, no. Who in their right mind would want to go get the gritty dust on them and start to sweat? And then you have to lay all this tape down and spray the paint. You know, I happen to have a reputation for laying down all this fucking tape and doing fucking crazy spray jobs. But like I say, the spray job takes like 3 fucking hours to do.
Well, God bless you, Peter Schroff. Thank you so much.
Yes. Well, hey, it was nice to attract your interest. And I hope that this will open the minds of your readers.
I mean, it 1,000% will open them wide as wide can be.
It's like I said. Well, I won't say it, but it was like...
Just say it. Just send us out. Send us out with one piece of wisdom for the reader and or listener and or viewer.
Well, I kind of stated it before. There's nothing out there. There's absolutely nothing out there. The mind makes everything real. It's kind of like the Matrix, you know? The Matrix makes it real. When Neo's bleeding in the chair, going around, bleeding. And I don't know who said it, whether it was Trinity or or fishbone.
Fishbone definitely said it.
Yeah.
When did you ever listen to Fishbone?
The mind makes it real. So the mind is pliable. It's like a piece of clay. People believe things that aren't real. And so there's nothing out there. So that's my words of wisdom.
God bless you, Peter Schroff.
All right. Hey, it's been a pleasure. And you guys are so open-minded and easy to work with. I love you. Thanks for bringing us about. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And have a wonderful night.
Peace.
Peace.
Or, I can't do it, but you know.
That was Spock, the Spock piece. Spock piece is better.
There you go. You're an expert. All right. I love you guys.
Love you.
Thank you for calling upon me and doing this. It's all media, you know?
It's beautiful.
All right. Just for love.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.